Well, hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network episode 93. This is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. This week, we're talking about more changes coming to the streaming landscape. It's not just Spotify anymore that's making controversial changes. We've got news coming from Tidal and Apple Music as well. We'll also talk about each of our 2023s as artists and all the lessons that we've learned in production, marketing, and gear. Let us know in the chat and in the comments what your takeaways were. And hello to everybody who's joining us live in the chat. We've got Survey Channel. Here we are freaking. I don't know if like freaking A or what, but that's awesome. Yeah. Happy to have you, Survey Channel. How are you doing? We've also got Abby in the chat. Are you in a meeting? Typically, it's the muted in a meeting. You're doing the double headphones, but happy to have you with us. Everybody else, let us know how you're doing in the chat. And if you've had any lessons or takeaways from 2023, always great to have you with us and to talk about all this stuff. My name is Sun Warper, and with me today are Eon Lake and Curtis.
Hey, it's very good to be back. Getting ever closer to that 100th episode.
Hold on. We got to celebrate because as we get to that episode, Abby is not muted today. That's awesome. Yes. That's great. Progress. Also, hello to Devoid of Funk. Welcome. How are you? Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. Devoid of Funk. It's such a cool name, Devoid of Funk. It's such a dope idea. Anyway, yes, as some of us say, we have got a lot more on the streaming way. We are moving away from Spotify. We're going to get into it. We're combining two. In the name of keeping up, we're going to talk about other streaming today. Because it's very interesting. I might be peeking a little bit, but it's very interesting.
Let me know, too, if I'm peeking, because last week, I think my microphone was a little hot when I was listening back and editing it for the podcast platform. So apologies, but that's all right. So let us know. Or Curtis, if you guys hear one of us peeking, let us know. Because what we use doesn't give us a mixer. So we have to go by ear. And then I can't hear when I'm mixing, I can't hear myself. So we have to go like, how does that sound to Curtis? How does that sound to Eon? Like, it's a mess, but we get through it. We get through it.
We do. But yeah, sure. We do. We are moving away from Spotify. And we have got two more examples of
Yeah, I know. We do love hearing Eon Lake's rants about it, but we need a break. We need a breather, all right?
I just feel that I want to hear Eon Lake rant about something different, another streaming service, perhaps, because hey, I wonder
got you. We got two coming, so you'll have ample opportunity, my friend.
Exactly. We're going to combine the two and then we're going to talk about it. We're going to go through what these Apple Music and what Tidal are doing, and then we're going to kind of go into some analysis about the whole idea. That's the name of the segment itself. And it's been a week and I forgot how I do things and my responsibilities of the show.
Streaming's in the least.
Streaming's shifting spaces or scapes in this regard. So we're going to start with Apple because Apple starts with A and A is at the beginning of the alphabet. So we're going to start with that.
I thought you were going to go reverse alphabet based on the way we had it set up in the docket, but you know what? That's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll go with it. We need to share the 12-foot. We had this whole thing from Eon Lake in the green room about this website, 12-foot, because this is from Bloomberg and they're behind a paywall and we don't want to do that. So thanks to Eon Lake, we are seeing this today. Sunwarper took the lead on this. Sunwarper, take us through this.
Yeah, so this was interesting. I saw this and Apple is supposedly going to be paying more royalties for songs that have a mix in Dolby Atmos. And according to the article, it's not just if a song is streamed in Atmos, it's if it's just available in that format, then if even your stereo mix is streamed, you'll get a higher royalty share. It's an interesting idea. So, I mean, we've been talking about lower and lower streaming payouts. So here we see something that's kind of good. Now, there was some talk, conjecture, whatever you want to call it, that some of this may be to push Apple products, because I guess you can mix in Atmos there. But I mean, whatever it is, personally, I think this is a good thing. I mean, any chance to see higher streaming royalties is great. I wish it was just in general, but at least this is something. But I'm curious. I mean, I've never mixed in Atmos as of yet. Is it something, does this make you think, oh, I should learn how to mix like this and start making these mixes? Or is it, don't really care? Curtis, what's your take?
I'd like to give it a try in the same way that mixing in any new way or form, be it AI or Atmos or whatever, I'd like to give it a try. My question becomes, if you say on upload that it's going to be there or your song is mixed in Dolby Atmos and then they find out it's not, what happens there? That's what I
want. I don't know. That's a good question. And maybe they haven't put that one, but maybe it scans for, because it is a different type. I think, what, that's 7.1? Yeah, like you can probably verify me, but Dolby Atmos is like a 3D soundscape, isn't it? Compared to a stereo two track where it would be like that. It probably would know, or that you probably have to put in a different file. I don't know, Ian. Like I'm speaking somewhat out of ignorance and just making an assumption. So let me know if you know more.
I'm not an expert, but I think it's going to be a different file type.
Yeah.
It's going to have different characteristics that can be seen from the outside of the file. So they'll know when you upload it.
I think they would know. And also just probably the waveform is probably a bit different because it's not stereo.
Yep.
It makes you wonder, though, if they're going to be pushing Dolby Atmos, which is fine if that's what you want to do. If there's going to be an increase in royalties for that, is there going to be a decrease for those who are just mixed in like the old school fashion?
I was wondering that. I mean, it's an interesting thought, right? Because maybe they're justifying the higher royalty payout for that based on lowering the threshold or lowering the payout in the other way. I didn't see anything confirming that, but it is an interesting thought. Hopefully that's not the case, but who knows? Yeah.
You know, like, and do you have any experience with Dolby Atmos and where are you going to go with that? And
I guess it's the replacement for 5.1 and 7.1 and all the other preceding formats, but what you need to do it now and how many channels you need to mix it in, I don't know. I've always felt that with music, it's fun, but a little gimmicky, really, to be doing stuff like that. Maybe
it makes sense for like OSTs or in theater, in cinematic things having a big
when they're going to be doing that stuff with sound anyway, and making sure that it comes from where it's actually supposed to be coming from, you know, in the scene that you're watching. But with music, I don't know. I don't mind the idea of having, instead of having left and right and placing instruments and sound sources somewhere in the field of that, but having, you know, left, right, front, rear, you know, a three-dimensional, all-encompassing sort of place so that you can pan anywhere, you can pan stuff behind you and so on. That could be interesting, and maybe for building mixes and giving your mixes some more room. It'd be good if you play guitar, you might need to have, you know, a guitar in all four corners or something.
Do Smashing Pumpkins, where it's like 30 guitars just all around it. I mean, it could be really cool. There could be some awesome experimentation in it. I think it's worth checking out, not just because of this, but just if that's what is going to be coming in the future. But it's interesting to think, like, what is the consumer base of this type of listening experience, whatever you want to call it? I don't know how large of a listener base it is. Is there one? Yeah, I mean, obviously, Apple thinks it's there or going to be there because they're going to be paying out higher for that, or they're doing it for the reason to try to give the impetus. Hey, listen in Atmos. Like, look, who knows? It's interesting. I'm not that well read on the topic of Atmos and things like that. It just hasn't really been in my sphere as of yet, but it's interesting. Also want to say hello to Bendu, who just joined us in the chat. How are you doing, Bendu? What's up? Happy to have you with us. Anything else on this topic before we move to the next of the streaming changes?
No, it's just I've found it a bit impenetrable, really. You try and look into, well, what is it? You just end up in this great mush of marketing speak that doesn't really actually tell you anything.
So that tells me lots of hype, not a lot of usage yet.
Immersive,
when it's surrounded by that, like NFTs, right?
NFTs,
all the hype, but everything was just like, what? And so, yeah, I'm curious, chat, do any of you, before we get to you, Curtis, do any of you have any experience either mixing in Atmos or listen in Atmos? Curious to hear just amongst all of us what our experience or knowledge of it is. So let us know in the chat.
I've seen people charging £150 per song for mixing in Atmos.
Ooh, okay.
Interesting.
Okay. I mean, I'd like to have a look. I mean, it always strikes me, if you ask an executive from from Apple, what is Dolby Atmos? They might just reply with, what isn't Dolby Atmos? And then you just left
3D computers. Sounds, man.
But I mean, it makes sense. Like, okay, so not to put us in a niche, obviously we're in an electronic community that do lots of different things, right? But a lot of us, you know, have done ambient at one point in our time in life, you know, that wonderful thing. And
it sounds like some of us have done these things in the past. Like, ambient's like not Nancy a dirty Reagan word, bro.
Saying, just say no. You know,
ambient's not a dirty word, bro. Okay.
I tried ambient once.
I didn't inhale. Okay.
I didn't inhale. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like the it feels like Dolby Atmos is something that ambient artists should be grasping with all four hands. The notion of, like, I imagine that you sit like, okay, music for stationary travelers, right? Our playlist, right? But how much more stationary traveler can you get than having ARPs coming in and crisscrossing across your spectrum?
Hold on, because according to Devoid of Funk, it's not just being stationary, though. They say, my new Apple earbuds spatial setting I found useless. The music follows my head turning. So that's not stationary. That's active.
I hate that point. So if you put your phone down, turn away from it, suddenly everything's on the right. It's, I don't want to hear things based on where my bloody phone is.
That's probably more for like AR and VR.
Yeah, AR, VR.
If you're doing those sorts of things where you're interacting and when you move, like you're seeing some sounds move. I don't know. That's my assumption. As a gamer, that's my assumption. But yeah, I don't know. I think just I brought this to the table more for the point of this idea that there's going to be an increase in royalty. Like, I don't know if it even says how much, and it's saying it's like, oh, it's they're like breaking the news, but Apple hasn't, to this knowledge or to my knowledge at least yet, like confirmed anything. But it's an interesting idea. I mean, it's just like, if they have that ability, why not increase the streaming in general? But they must be wanting to push this for a reason. And maybe, like Devoid of Funk saying, with the spatial setting, they're like pushing this because they're seeing this as kind of like Sony with Blu-ray years ago. Like, they see this as something. So they put it in the PS3 and like did all that to like push users to the base, like the base of using it. So interesting idea. But that's why I wanted to bring it to the table. I think talking about the application of Atmos and all that is important, but it's just interesting because now we're seeing, instead of, we always hear, oh, streaming royalties are going down, 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 like the, you know, they're going to pay less per stream, or now Spotify doing all this robbery, whatever you want to call it. This one's like, hey, we're going to increase the streams if you do this. Yeah, it's like, what? This was not on my bingo card for 2023. Like, what? So, yeah.
I mean, it's a nice...
Should we look into it? Should we do them?
I'm going to experiment, I think. I'd like to experiment with something like that. It's been on my radar for a while. I just never got to it because, you know, things take me a while. But creating something different, suddenly having to think about a 3D plane as opposed to just a 2D plane in that sense is quite interesting to me, I think, in that regard. And I didn't realize that it meant that spatial settings means things change as you move your head.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Atmos or if that's just a spatial setting in Apple where it's just doing like a panning thing, or if it's kind of for both. I'm not sure, but that is interesting.
You know how much I love my ARPs and the notion of them just like, you know, Princess Leia, like just going around up here.
I just got deja vu. I think we talked about like this sort of 3D audio before, and you mentioned ARPs with like one ARP on the left, one on the right, one like that. I swear we've mentioned this before. It's not enough for me to scour through every ADSN to see if it's there, but I do think we've had this discussion and you've said this before. So it's been on your mind for a while, I think.
Okay, it's time to actually do something about that.
I have like an engram of you in my brain that like lives rent free and just knows you love arts, and that's just in my head. I don't know. It could be either of those.
We all have that.
Yeah.
We all have that.
Hang out with each other so much. We just have like ADSNs in our brain. Where we're just we have each other's opinions, like, oh yeah, well, on any topic.
just wait till we start talking about drivers and Elon Lake's just gonna be off.
Oh god,
I'll be back.
What do we have from title, Curtis?
Second off of this, yeah, let me share this instead, according to Google, and then we can bring that up. Tidal has knocked 10% of its staff. I don't. And he looks pretty smug about the whole situation, so we're just going to smooth that right past him. Yeah, it's Jesse Doroguska. So this is interesting. So it's laid off 10% of its workforce. They've cut 40 employees, and they've said, "We do not take these decisions lightly. We're sincerely grateful for the contributions of our impacted teammates," a Tidal spokesperson said in an email cited by Bloomberg, which is about as comforting as a wet slap by a fish. And we've come down here. "As we continue to view the business through the lens of our investment framework, we continue to find opportunities for constraints we believe will lead to greater growth. We implemented one of these a year before our IPO, an absolute cap on the number of people we had at the company." So yeah, they've basically cut, they've cut 10% of their workforce. And I said, and we've been throwing this back and forth. This has been say it again, sorry, Ian.
In December, they've cut 10% of their workforce.
So I think it's important. I don't know if you read this part, but it's Block Inc. is the parent company, and that I guess is co-owned or owned in part by what is it, Jack Dorsey from Twitter, formerly of Twitter. So I think some of what they're writing is from, or what they're quoting is from Dorsey in a letter he wrote. Very interesting. Now, I thought you put on something on Discord about, they said something to the effect of like moving away from music or something like that.
Well, that was the discussion that we had in the Patreon group. I think Lars brought it to the table, and this idea of moving away from music, and he talked about moving to more video content, perhaps to rival YouTube Music. That's what kind of getting.
I want to see where there was an article he sent though. Hold on, but my thinking is, if that's true. Oh, so from Mixmag, he sent a link from Mixmag. But I'm gonna look in a second to see. Okay, bring it up. Yeah, because if that's true, my thinking is, moving away from music makes me think Spotify, because Spotify's big thing in the last year or two has been podcasts and now audiobooks, because far less, or if any, royalties are paid out. I don't know about audiobooks, but for podcasts, there's no royalty payments. The only revenue comes if you can enable ads on the platform, or if you do ads through your own, you know, like a third party way, not through Spotify. So my thinking would be, if they're trying to move away from music in the way, if this article says it, can you just confirm that section in that article, Curtis, just like control F or something, see if that there's a statement there. If that's true, if that's what they're stating, or that's the idea, my thing would be not so much video, but I would think podcasts and audiobooks, one, to compete with Apple and Spotify and even Amazon with what's Audible. But I would think podcasts and audiobooks would be the way they would be going, but I'm not sure. Video too is an idea, but that to me makes me think podcasts.
Well, that's what they got here. So if we just come back to the Mixmag, this is again, Lars put this in the Patreon Discord. I don't want to subscribe now, thank you. As Benjamin said above, titles. Let's try that one. Job cuts are part of a wider strategy from parent fintech company Block Now, also known as Square, which announced last month that it'd be laying 10% of its staff, around 1,300 members of staff, out of work. That's where that comes from. And then I think the added speculation comes from our Discord in that regard. Yeah. So where they put going...
in quotes, I'll just look a little further. I just want to see, because he did put in quotes, moving from music. But anyways, Curtis, what's your take on all this?
Well, it seems to me that this is the one that stuck out for me more than perhaps the Apple one, because it's streaming. Whether it be diversification in any form or whatever it is, but basically the model ain't working. And I mean, Ian Lake's been touching on this for a while, and talking about server space and cost and upkeep, etc., and profits. And it seems that whatever's happening, whatever's going down, the model itself is not actually working, turning a profit, which leads into this notion of how long do we have left of streaming? How long would it actually continue to exist before we try something else and the whole model as itself dies? You know, it's like they always say, like, you know, you've got Netflix and Disney Plus, and you've got all these like video streaming services. One day someone's just going to package it all up, you pay one monthly fee and you get all of these streaming services, basically cable, right? Now, which shows, you know, this shows the ebbs and flow of the business model. Like, is this the same thing? Because we saw Spotify kind of do its diversification. We saw that kind of come through. We saw Apple Music do its diversification with all that stuff coming through. Now Tidal's going the same way. Is this not just some form of, again, they're trying to get as much money as they can from everyone in that regard? They've just upped their subscription service itself, the cost of the subscription service. Maybe they're floundering. I don't know. Maybe that's probably maybe a bit too extreme. But what are you thinking on it?
Thinking along similar lines, really. Wondering, really, if this isn't just, you know, streaming was something that was invented for a purpose and somebody thought, oh, this will be good. This will make money. I think what we're seeing now is maybe the, does it though? and you know, companies that are responsible to shareholders trying to make decisions about how they can be more profitable and things not necessarily panning out the way that they expected them to. For some years now, there's been this attitude of, like, you know, monthly payments, you know, it's no big thing, right? You know, just it's just a few quid a month and you can have all this, you know, and everybody seems to have adopted the model. And I don't know about you, but you see your monthly outgoings going up and up and up and up. And, you know, it's no secret that in the UK and in other areas of the world post-pandemic and so on, that, you know, times are tight and everybody's looking at how they can spend less money. And I think services like this are kind of looking like prime candidates. And yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing what they can to try and find other ways to be more profitable. And I think, like you say, Curtis, that involving themselves in areas where there's less expense or less difficulty for them to get more content to sort of enrich the platform would seem to make sense, really. I don't know how much effect it will have in the long run. And I do find myself wondering similarly that, you know, is this the beginning of, you know, the next phase of this turning into something else or failing and being replaced by something else? I don't know. But things have been evolving steadily for years now, and it doesn't look to be stopping. You know, none of these things look absolutely bomb-proof. Well, this will be around forever. You know, it's just... This is now, you know. God knows what it will be like in the future. So, yeah, interesting times.
Yeah, I want to add, I found that section because I think this goes into what Ian Lake's saying. According to Resonant Advisors' title source, it signifies the streaming platform's shift to pushing tech initiatives instead of anything related to music, labels, distributors, or artists. That's the section Lars in our Discord was talking about where he said moving away from music. That's it. So it's a source saying it in this article from Mixmag from Resident Advisor. So Resident Advisor's source is saying this about Tidal, but Mixmag is reporting the section we're reading. So yeah, I would think, like I was saying, I mean, tech initiatives, maybe that's not podcasts and stuff, but I could see videos, podcasts, anything like that, or maybe even something completely out of left field for a streaming platform. But very interesting, because I mean, it's interesting too, because we were all kind of thinking like, oh, maybe with all the Spotify stuff we'd start gravitating more towards Tidal because of the higher quality streams and all that. But yeah, to Ian Lake's point, nothing's forever, and it seems like this whole streaming boon or whatever you want to call it that was happening for the last 5-10 years is leveling out, but also kind of dropping as we have less expendable cash, things like that. So yeah, very interesting times.
It is, and it makes you wonder where it will go next, because in all this fallout, what has things like Spotify done in the last couple of weeks? I don't know about if you guys have seen it on your feeds or anything like that, but you can now like do gigs and book gigs instantly through their app, and you can see artists based on your location and stuff like that, and where they're touring, who's on tour, that kind of thing. A lot more of a social media dynamic. We were talking about a year ago when Spotify started doing merchandise, for example, right? There still is not to this day, as far as I can see, and tell me if I'm wrong, a social media platform based around music and based around musicianship and
TikTok's gonna try. They're adding a streaming platform.
Okay. Then there we go. There's that something that we need to see come through. There's nothing. The best we've got at the moment, apart from that, I haven't explored that TikTok or anything like that. But
I don't think it's out yet. They've like announced that they're going to be adding a streaming platform or something to that effect.
Okay. Well, I mean, that could be something interesting. All that data mining has got to be good for something.
Yep.
They've been slapping away for a while now, haven't they?
I've been mining, and their algorithms are good. I don't know if you ever get hooked into those algorithms, you'd come up for breath. A few hours later, you know, your beard's three times.
No, I go on to TikTok, go to upload, and then answer any comments I have, and then I'm done. I always mute it before I go on to. I mute my phone because it usually pops up all loud, and I'm like, nope. Just go to notifications, go to upload, done. As we'll talk in the next segment about our lessons learned in 2023, it's like the least time I can spend on social media, the better.
That's fair.
YouTube's another story. I go down the YouTube video rabbit hole quite often, but I like to consider that slightly more educational. So, you know,
I love,
if it's like music gear news or education, music theory, stuff like that, I count that as educational.
Of course. The latest conspiracy theory is always fun. We'd like to know what you guys think in the chat and watching back on the streaming service that shall not be named, or Apple Podcasts. We're curious. Like, is this a big deal? We've brought this to the table. We think that this is extended coverage essentially of streaming sites that have been making changes and drastic changes within their company, which has been a long time coming. Now, we're not saying that there's anything massive coming on here, but we're also saying that they're not saying that, if that makes sense. Now, we'd like to know what you think. Has it made these changes that have come through over the last couple of weeks in Spotify and Tidal and Apple Music, has it made you reconsider or rethink your releasing strategy? We'd like to know. Next week, we're discussing what we're going to be doing throughout 2024. And so we'd like to get your thoughts and your ideas on that.
Yeah, I think it's important because I think what this shows, as we've had to cover Spotify and then this for the last month, maybe each week, we've got news from Spotify or Instagram or something about changes, and usually they're for the worse. None of this is permanent and it's always changing. You could for 1 year be super used to a certain thing, or how much a stream pays and all that stuff, and then they just pull the rug out from under you for, you know, with no context. Just, oh, this is changing now. Just, you never know. So it's all impermanent. So it's good to not put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. Like, have a website, as we talked about with FCC a couple weeks back. He gave some great tips, and he's in the chat, wouldn't you know? Hey guys, hope everyone's well. Yeah, we are well. How are you, FCC? Let us know. It's been a minute, I think, since we heard from you. Happy to hear from you. How are you? But yeah, FCC walked us through things to consider when making a website and all that stuff. It's just another thing that's worth having in this crazy shifting landscape. And you can find that in, it should be in the description. If this is connected to the podcast playlist that we have on YouTube, if not, just go to our channel and go to the ADSN playlist. But yeah, it's just like all this stuff can change. So it's always good to be everywhere and then focus on a couple major things, but you always have these fallbacks, you know, like you have a website, you're on Instagram, you're on Blue Sky, you're on that, but focus on one or two.
Oh yeah.
You have that. Yeah. You always forget that. Yeah.
Literally signed up to it. I signed up to it using Lars's link in the Discord, and I genuinely haven't been back on it since.
No, you forgot, and then we reminded you. You came back. You posted once. You're like, "Hey, gonna use Blue Sky more." And then he just ghosted again. You just ghosted
it off. A ghost of you.
Yeah, we guilted Eon like into following you. We made him feel all bad live on the show. The chat was giving him crap. And then you just ghosted Nope out of there.
Went in there and he's like, he's not here. Where is he? Anyone seen it? No.
I I just forgot. I'm not trying to get you to come to a party and I'd really plead, come on, and then just forget to go. Yeah. Apologies. I'll try for a third time, you know, third time's a charm. We'll see. Talking of community, that brings us very nicely to our the next segment of the show, which is thank you to the patrons. There's a lot of you in the chat consistently coming in and showing us support week in and week out, and we love it. The patron discussions, the star streams, the general discussion and the vibe of happiness around our community that is burgeoning and growing is lovely. And thank you ever so much for your support. It allows us to keep doing this. We keep saying this. I've said this a couple of times towards the end of this year, but we've got big plans coming next year. And we're going to do a little bit of a reveal about that later. But your support allows us to keep doing this week in and week out and stops me having to go and get a big boy job. So thank you. I really appreciate it. we do. If you have not become a patron, or you like what we do and you would like to become a patron, please consider going across our Patreon page. It has now got dark mode, which is even better. It's really cool. Look at that, it's dark and it's got our old logo as well. It's great. But for as little as $2 a month, you can support us and allow us to keep growing, and it's great. If you, as just for $2, you get access to the Patreon itself. We have exclusive Patreon channels on Discord and on Twitter, for example. And as you go up, you get more stuff. For example, early access to Audionautic content. We have a Starstream hangout once a month, which is happening, what did we decide? On the 30th, in between Christmas and New Year. We're going to have a little chilled hangout. Yeah, sure, and as you go up. Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to sit with a mince pie and a glass of sherry. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah, thank you for your support. If you want to support us on Patreon, please consider doing so.
Guys, real quick. Well, first of all, thanks to all of our patrons. And yeah, if you want to check it out, the link is in the description, patreon.com/audionautic. The Discord is open for everyone. That link is in the description. But we have patron channels where we talk, hang out, we do voice chats, all that. Great to have all of you there. We talk about all kinds of stuff. The best thing is just talking, having people that we can talk gear with. I'm having some weird internet issues. I think I'm dropping out a little bit. So I'm going to try to plug in the Ethernet. So I'm just going to, while you set up the topic, Curtis, I'm going to just drop out for a second and see if I can fix this. So I will be right back.
There's no way this can go wrong.
Look, I can come in and out. It's going right.
Boom, look at that, he's gone. He's gone. Wow, okay, that is hectic. Yeah, so that is our new segment for the week, and this is a bit of a first part of a two-week course. We're going to be looking back at a little bit of a retrospective over the last year, and we're going to be taking and vocalizing our lessons, our takeaways, how we have grown on our journeys, what we've learned, and sharing them with the community. So if you want to get in on this conversation, because this is a communal discussion, what have you learned in 2024? What have you taken away? How have you grown as an artist? Let us know, and we'll go through that. That's essentially where we are. And I'm so excited for the next year as a result of my own learning. I believe that I've actually dated it wrong. Yeah, lessons from 2024. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
Wow.
So yeah. So Eon Lake, let's start with you. Seeing as I introduced it and Sunwarper was away, and now I'm on this trip. Eon Lake, how has 2023 been for you? What have you learned? What have you taken away? What knowledge can you impart onto us, even if it includes drivers and drum machines?
Knowledge and wisdom, eh? I don't have either. No.
I beg to differ on that, my friend.
It was a bit of a hectic year. And one of the first things that struck me when I was thinking about this is that there seemed to be less consolidated time for being creative and writing music than ever before. A large part of it, I chewed up a large part of the year obsessing about performing live for the first time, mainly because it was something that I'd never planned to do, and I hadn't geared the project around being able to be reproduced live at any point. But also, it was just one of those years, really. So I found that time hacking became more, I mean, I've mentioned it many times in the past, but it became more of a required skill, more of a focus this year in order to counteract the fact that there was just less time. It's all little pockets of time here and there that might be enough if you're able to add them together. So, you know, we talk on the show when we're looking at new gear and so on about portable solutions and so on. And I've got a few that I've started using more. We talked about Ableton Note earlier in the year. Recently, over the last couple of months, I seem to have managed to forget that it exists, and then I've rediscovered it again. What
sounds
else?
Like Blue Sky. Oh, man.
Not exactly. But I get what you mean.
I was just, that was what Curtis said. I don't necessarily agree. I'm just cracking up that he's trying to not sound so bad.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, apart from that, things like MPC Live, Black Box, things like that, I've been using more and more out of studio to start things off, so that, you know, it's more a question of taking an idea and fleshing it out in the studio rather than sitting here going, what shall I do today? And obviously, you know, my whiteboard has come into play for that a lot as well. So build up ideas when I'm busy so that when I'm got time, I can do something without having to waste any time. So that's one thing. I think another big thing for me was mental overload and creativity and the tyranny of stuff and things filling up your life and your head. So many times in the past, we've talked about being a creative person and having to look after yourself, either from a health and well-being point of view, and nutrition and so on, to like getting adequate rest. But having lots of things bouncing around your head, a surefire way to just kill your creativity, you know, when there's a load of stuff that needs to be done, and having a healthy attitude to that and relationship with it is probably key, I think, in negating the negative effects. So I was reading a review of a famous poet the other day, and letters that he wrote to various people during his lifetime, and it was pointing out the fact that exactly that somebody who was a creative was just unable to get anything done because they were so popular that there was loads of letters that needed to be rewritten, correspondence, things like this, that just stopped him from being able to do what he was supposed to be, you know, doing, which that really spoke to me. I thought, well, it's not just us, it's all sorts of other people. So you need to be able to make a bit of room. You need to be able to not drown under all the everyday things or family things. Or if you've got side work hustle or whatever, you know, it's very easy to get drowned by these things. And that can stop you from being so creative in the studio. Ways that you can mitigate stuff like that. I mean, there's the obvious stuff like, you know, the great outdoors, nature and so on, and meditation, yoga, stuff like that. You know, whatever suits you, whatever floats your boat. But these things, there are a number of different ways I think that they benefit the creative person. So these are things I'm going to have renewed focus on in the new year in order to try and be at my best and get more of what I want to do done. And beyond that, the other thing that I've taken to heart, this year I said I wasn't going to buy loads of stuff because I've been a bit acquisitional in the past, and the guys are taking the mickey out of me a lot for it. Thanks, guys.
We're just so jealous. So we're trying to make ourselves feel better.
This year, I decided it was going to be about focusing on what I have, appreciating what I have, you know, as part of a mental thing, but also focusing on what I have to become better at using it. Because I was one who thought, well, I know how synthesis works. I can get loads of synthesizers. It doesn't mean you know an instrument very well. So I've been taking things off to the side on their own and focusing on them a lot. And I've got a fair bit of mileage out of it. I found it very helpful. It's something I'm going to carry on doing. I'm reminded of something that I read John Hopkins was saying, that he'd only ever introduced one new thing into his studio at a time because of the hit to productivity it represents, you know, to have to sort of learn something new. You know, you've got everything that you know and you've been able to produce stuff on. And I suppose when you're, you know, even semi-professional or professional, and you're relying on having to be like, have this regular output, that to introduce something that's just going to slow you down is almost, you know, giving yourself a handicap. And I did quite the opposite of that. I introduced loads of stuff over the course of a year or 2 years. And I still think there's a lot of mileage to be gained from getting to know it intimately and optimizing what I already have. So I'm going to be doing that as well. And I think the same could be said for anyone. I mean, I don't think it's any of this is specific to me. It's just stuff that I've noticed that I think I can get a lot of mileage out of without actually really adding anything, just taking a slightly different approach.
I hear that.
That's interesting. The Void of Funk actually says something quite similar in the chat. My 2023 lesson, synth detox. Tuck all of your gear away for a couple of months and no YouTube gear vids. Your gas will become grass. We like grass, right? Gear reacquaintment syndrome. It'll all be fresh again, sort of. Yeah. No, totally.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Or what I've found lately is trying different combinations that you're not normally used to, you know, like, I did get a new piece of gear, but it was my first of the year and it was a month ago. So I think that's okay. But yeah, like, trying new combinations or then seeing what you can do between that. Yeah. And looks like FCC is in total agreement with you, Eon Lake. So yeah.
Thank you.
FCC, if you've got any lessons you learned, let us know. Everybody in the chat, not just Devoid of Funk, but if you have any lessons you'd care to share as we continue, let us know in the chat. Or if you're watching it back, let us know in the comments on YouTube or in the, what do they call that on Spotify? If you're listening on Spotify, I will say its name, Curtis. Sorry if that like stings your soul or something, but but we can't be afraid of it. We have to say it. But if you're listening on Spotify or watching on Spotify, there's a little reply section. Let us know what your takeaways have been. We've also got Lars in the chat, late to the party. We actually name dropped you earlier because of that Mixmag article you made, Lars. Thanks for sending that. It was all good about you. Not so good about title and all that, but yeah, happy to have you with us. Just wanted to get those chats out of the way. Yeah, like, did you have anything else you want to add?
The funny thing is, there was one thing that also gave me that I found useful, and that was looking at Sunwarper shorts on YouTube. It's the whole sort of just the attitude of, oh, I wonder what happens if I do this. So I'm just going to do a bit of this or that. I don't know. I've become quite dogmatic about making music, and it all become very serious and heavy. And the experimental side of what I saw in your channel reminded me that it's important to be a little bit playful with it as well and go, oh, I wonder what if, you know. And so, you know. On the show, I've been mentioning a lot of stupid things I've been trying out lately. It's more just to sort of reintroduce that fun experimentational aspect. I think that's a good thing to always try and make sure you're doing.
That's fair. That's a beautiful segue into Sunwarper's 2023.
Yeah. All right. So I have a few things. So, because I want to approach this from kind of every angle as an artist, because that's what we're building this as. And you did too, Eon Lake. I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying, like, I've got a couple, because a lot happened this year for me. And so I'm gonna go over a few things. There's life changes, things, how I approach streaming and social media, production, and then even how I changed like releases and all that stuff, and just like making money as an artist pretty much. So first thing was, as most, if not all of you know, I became a father in September. So that completely changed time, life, stress, all that stuff. So it made me learn, kind of similar to what I think Eon Lake was talking about earlier, but like seizing the micro moments, like, oh, I have 20 minutes of free time. All right, I'm going to open Logic and make something, or I'm going to use Koala or the Pocket Operator. And in doing that, just having those small times, it kind of reinforced the idea that I somehow also taught Eon Lake in my shorts, but that just experiment, like just because that's the way. If you can't, if you're in a stuck amount of time, you can't be in that way where it's like, well, I'm going to make this sound and then I'm going to add this sound and this sound. So it's like, I had to completely reapproach it and be like, all right, well, what if I just sample in a guitar into Koala with a microphone, no BPM, and just like time sync it or chop it up or do this. And it just had me work completely out of my comfort zones. And that was great because then I felt like I was learning new things and trying new things. And I mean, it, like you gave a great segue, but doing all that helped me to do more with my YouTube channel, which during this year I was able to get monetized. I just reached full YouTube partner, so I have ad revenue and all that stuff now. And it's really changed how I approach just like music, because now I'm not trying to make a song every month for Spotify, right? I mean, I have to finish this project I'm doing, but that wasn't for Spotify. That was a story. But now, as this year went on and I was doing another yearly release thing, just like 2021, I was like, I really miss those days where I could keep working on songs until just like, and just keep experimenting with it, right? And I was making songs, like I was making songs as I wanted to make them, not within the back of my head, oh, is this song gonna fit a playlist, or like, you know, will people like this on that? But with YouTube, that's like where I'm making my money now, and so I can do my fun experimentations on that and build this community here, and then I have the time to just focus on building these songs however I want them and then just release them as I want to. So it's kind of like just learning how YouTube works, figuring out all of that, having awesome community over there, everything with Audionautic. It just changed like everything, because social media, streaming, they're all changing and I'm just done with it. Like just straight up done with it. I don't want to deal with the trying to appease these algorithms that are constantly shifting on Instagram where, oh, do reels for a year because they're going to get thousands of views. And then one day they just get like 200 and everyone is dealing with that. And it's like, well, now you need to learn carousel posts and do this and make sure you're doing these. Like, no, I'm done. And then Spotify apparently doesn't want my music. So it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to deal with that either, you know? And like, I can. So basically 2023 is a year of pivots for me. Like I had to pivot because my child was born. And so I had to seize these micro moments. And then because of that, I was learning, well, let's just keep working on the YouTube, because this is a lot of fun. I like doing these educational videos and sharing what I know, but also learning from people in the chat and community. And yeah, it just completely shifted everything. So it's like, I can be the artist and I can be the like YouTube section. And then the other big thing in terms of gear and production was AI. ChatGPT has just helped me figure out, like, you know, if I'm stuck writing a song, I can be like, you know, I really want to make an ethereal track. Give me a 4-chord progression. And usually it sounds like drivel, but if I just tweak the sounds, I had a start point thanks to ChatGPT. I can tweak it, make like major sevenths, ninths, change the chords completely. But I had this start point instead of just starting at a blank page. And like AI, we use it for writing titles for YouTube, like to start the title. Everything with AI is the generate, like a genesis device. Start with AI and then adjust it, or don't even use it, just have it as a start point. That's the way to do it. But we got a lot of chat. Gentlemen, anything before I read the chats? I think that's about everything I've learned from 2023.
I've got a few questions, but go for the chat first.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Where do we start? Where do we start? It's here. Okay, here we go. I found it. Lars says, the lesson I was supposed to learn was to stop buying plugins. I did not learn.
Nor did I. No.
Yeah, I focused on the free stuff. That's what the beauty of ADSN was. We're always trying to push, like, show the free stuff. And so that was, I was able to try these things and do it that way. I think the next one's Lars is referencing that I uttered the name Spotify to Curtis's chagrin, but he also says, I thought my ears were burning. I think that's what he was referring to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Did you ever get your congratulations cigar? No, not yet. Not yet, but we'll see. I don't know. FCC says, I've learned to really learn a few key instruments, techniques, and to go back into old analog tapes and things I can make quick music with. Time has been an issue, so all about optimizing that time. Totally. And that was the other thing. In terms of my production, I've almost completely gone over to quickly sample an idea from a live instrument, like playing guitar, playing on the mini log, playing on my DAW stuff, sample it into the Digitech, tweak the sample, throw it into the SV, and then sequence on the DigiTact, triggering that sound, but also new sounds and stuff. It's such a fast way of working, but it makes the weirdest, craziest sounds, because the DigiTact has a warp machine that kind of quantizes, but it adds these weird artifacts, and then you can loop it, you can reverse it. You can just turn what is a normal guitar into this bizarre sound. So I'm with you 100% FCC. Devoid of Fuck says, the pressure of having very little time to create is actually a luxury. Interesting. Interesting. Ian Lake says, as a driver, you mean a challenge? And Devoid of Funk says, yes, that's a better way to say it. Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, I would much rather have, I think all of us would much rather have more time, but in a way, being forced to work in strange ways to get it done quickly is like a challenge. It is something that drives you to finish quicker. Yeah, I think that's we've got Shut Up Steve for me on like because of Audionautic going near.
All right, across the keyboard again.
what were your questions?
Well, firstly, I didn't realize you'd made partner. We spoke a few weeks ago, and you were very close.
This month, like last week, when I put out the PO33 video, it got the watch time and cry. I was like, I kept sitting at, you need 4,000. I was at like 3988. And then because one of my first like watched videos was just at a year, so the watch time from that one was like getting erased. Because it has to be in a revolving year, right? So those watch hours were going away as like it progressed. But luckily, I had other ones throughout the year. And then this PO33 one did well. And so it like crossed the finish line.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's what you mean.
Thanks. Yeah.
That is dope. You work hard. You work bloody hard for what you do. So it's good to see that come through. I suppose the notion is, are you continuing down this trip of like these educational gear videos, this doorless setup? Are you going for the recorded videos or the live streams, a bit of both every now? Do you have a plan of where that's going
to
go?
I do. My plan, what I'd like to do, so I had to, after the baby was born, switch to every other week, either a video or a live stream. What I was hoping to do as things were getting a little more normal before the holidays was do a video one week, a live stream the next week, and then just like keep repeating that. Not looking like that. So given the holidays, I'm just like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm just going to try to do what I can. So a video, then 2 weeks, a live stream, whatever. But my plan is at some point to do either like two videos and a live stream or a video and a live stream. But I mean, I saw there was some talk in the Discord about YouTube and, to anyone, if you have questions about YouTube and stuff, I mean, I'm not like the biggest expert, but I have grown to almost 1,800 subs in like a year and got the YPP. So I'm happy to give any tips and tricks and stuff that I've learned. I'll post in the Discord about it. But yeah, it's kind of like the videos and the live streams almost have different audiences, or so it seemed until very recently. The live streams seem to be much more, and even with Audionautic and stuff, live streams are much more already like fans or subscribers. And then the videos tend to hit a longer search term. Like it hits search much longer and things like that. So they have a longer shelf life, so to speak. So I like doing both because I like the live streams are fun to, just like with Audionautic, we have like, there's a good chat. We're having fun. We're making beats and I do votes. So every live stream, I put up like four options and people vote for it. So I like doing both, but the live streams are stressful. But then the videos take a lot of effort to produce. So it's like a trade-off either way. So yeah, I think I'll do both. And then what I started doing too, are I've been getting lots of questions about gear. So I'm making little shorts where I like answer a question and put the question in the short. And that's a lot of fun too. And then, so yeah, I'd like to approach it from every angle. So have shorts, both shorts that are from videos, but also these new shorts where I'm like making a short specifically. And then also have the live streams and then have the videos. So yeah, it's kind of like try to do it all and then just have to be forgiving if I can't get all of it done because life's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. You work hard for what you do. So you can only do what you can at the end of the day. I mean, it seems to be going well. Yeah. It's been a very productive 2024 in that regard. 2020, I keep doing it today. 2023 in that regard.
We're already, our minds are already in 2024, man.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, so consolidation seems to be the theme so far. Consolidation of knowledge, consolidation of key acquisition syndrome, consolidation of one's ideas for production. So that's cool. You know, again, does anyone else in the chat want to share what they have been doing over 2023?
I'd like to hear from Curtis.
Well, I've it's been an interesting one. I think for me, it's been a bit of an explorative year. I haven't released much, and that's been semi done on purpose. It's been nice, to be honest. Take a step back. I released Marooned back in March. Was it March or February? One of the two. Early 2023. And I've just kind of been going with the flow. And that's been quite nice. I've ever felt the pressure to release, I've kind of looked as to why that is and why that might have come about, and then kind of passed through it and carried on. And it's been very cathartic in that sense. It's been very cathartic to not worry so much about vanity metrics and keeping up with the crowd and keeping my listeners up and stuff. And I've truly just been getting back to how I feel like in my pre-feeler math days, like my before I started releasing properly. You know, falling back in love with why I do what I do. That's been through the live streams. So that's been kind of trying new things, trying something out. And I don't take my live streams that seriously in that regard. It's more about just kind of chilling out after a show late night and just kind of seeing what happens. I like that. But one thing that I've been really nice, all the lessons that I've been taken traditionally in the digital interwebosphere, right, with people who are only from the waist up, so to speak, YouTube videos and your good selves and all that stuff. I've for the first time, I've been able to take that out into the real world, quote unquote. And I've been doing a lot more live engineering, live events, and particularly like past couple of weeks, just been smashing real time, real audio, real engineering, and real public spaces, collaborating with people in the real world who have got mountains of knowledge and wisdom in this regard, far more than myself. And, you know, cross-collaborative, interdisciplinary situations as well, working with lighting technicians and working with projectionists and stuff, and learning a lot more about the V of the AV side as well. And that's given me, I'm seeing kind of my work moving forward in a, not just from an auditory perspective, I'm trying to see it also from a visual perspective and kind of how to create. I've got this universe in the back of my head, which is just there, right? And we're going to start playing around with that kind of thing for Music for Imagined Landscapes in January. But yeah, there's all this stuff and I can really start to bring it to life. And I've just been exploring those notions without feeling the pressure of, I'm a music producer and therefore I have to release all the time. You know, I've been taking my time, you know, and we've got a good, I'll be start releasing again in the new year. And I'm excited for that. It's a good body of work. It's stuff that I like. But it's been about kind of coming back to the root. It's been a year of being John, essentially, or emulating John in that sense. I always say, like, after I've done a release, go back to the origin, go back to the root, retake that root, and just kind of re-understand why I do what I do. And that process has been a lot longer this time. And it's really nice.
Well, let me ask you something. Has the change in... Or have all these changes in Spotify streaming and Instagram, you know, all these differences in algorithm reach and the royalty payouts, has that changed how you're approaching the release cycle and stuff? Because it's definitely changed mine. I know we'll talk about that next week to a degree, but I'm curious, like, as 2023 went on and this sort of stuff kept getting, so to speak, worse and worse, did it have a change in the way you were thinking, like, because I feel like I recall in 2022 you were like, I'm gonna release a lot in 2023, and then like you put out Marooned, and then did you put out Fragments 2 this year or last year? Last year, right?
Yeah, Fragments 2 was last year. Yeah. And Yeah, and I was think I was planning to. I think we upped our game here at Audionautic quite a bit, which I think took a lot of energy and brain power. And a lot of it has been putting the focus into that and really creating the discipline in that to the extent he says, not having done much pre-posting this week because he's been too busy to do.
Well, sometimes life has precedence. Well,
sometimes
friend.
Life gets in the way. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so there's been that. So that's there as well. But yes, the algorithm, in a similar vein to you, I think, I just kind of went, nah.
Yeah. I got burnt out with because in 2021 and 2022, I was really pushing the Instagram and you get lots of views, but then it was not turning into anything. Right. And we've talked about that. It doesn't translate to streams or anything like that. And I was originally just what is the point of being on this hamster wheel or whatever if it doesn't yield anything? And then they started just dropping, and then studies came out showing the reach of the algorithm's reaches have changed and things like that. Just why do this? Find the parts you enjoy and go there. And it was, and then Spotify now with this, we're not going to pay you until you get 1,000 streams. It's why would I even want to be on Spotify then at that point? I'm still deciding how I want to approach future releases given this Spotify change. Cause it just seems so insulting to be just put it on for the exposure, man. And once you hit that, if you can keep up getting over 1,000 streams, year after year, we'll keep paying you. But if you don't, we'll just stop, but you're on Spotify. That's important. It's no, maybe that's not important,
The concept that you've been overpaid till now is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What a way of putting it. Yeah. We overpay you. I look at it. I know what you mean. And it's okay. So I one of my first singles that I signed to a record label back in the day, I think it was Annabelle Lee. And I signed.
Is that the label or the song? Sorry.
The song, Annabelle Lee. Yeah. And I signed Coffee Shop Contemplations to another record label. And I remember at that point, they sent me a, in inverted commas, contract. And I signed that contract. I remember thinking at that time, in the naive space that I was, yeah, cool. This could really happen. This could be a thing. And then you realize that that actually means bugger all of bugger all. And then, then we set up a record label and suddenly we did it and we can do that. And it kind of removes that kind of that block. It removes that kind of aspect of I need to do this in order to be content. I need to do this in order to be considered successful, And then you get DistroKid and then you start uploading to Spotify and suddenly you see your stuff on Spotify and you're cool, I'm an artist. And then you kind of go, that doesn't really mean anything anymore, And what truly makes you an artist is kind of how you consider yourself. And this is what I try and say to the kids all the time. If you believe in yourself and you believe that you have a voice, this is, again, I'm not directly quoting Ian Lake, but Ian Lake, you're kind of an influence in this. If you kind of, is it coming from a place of within? Is it coming from a space of creative vulnerability? That's the only thing you need in order to create. You don't need any of these vanity metrics to make it happen. And I've been thinking about that for years. And so I suppose I've just been putting that to practice, if that makes sense. Just trying to get past my insecurities about it all.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. All of these changes are definitely not good and they're negative. But what's happening in the streaming landscape and social media and stuff like that. But it's almost kind of a good thing if you look at it, because it helps to rearrange where your priorities are or reassess where your priorities are and focus okay, I'm focusing on the music again, or I'm focusing on the parts that I enjoy, and that I want to do, rather than I'm trying to just get reach. So I'm making this type of content or I'm making this type of music or stuff like that. I mean, it's a fine line though, I feel like, right? Because you still want to reach new ears and grow and be keep gaining traction and things like that. But on the other hand, if you're not being authentic, you're probably not going to do that either, because it's just, you're not going to reach the ears that you want, or you're not going to reach ears at all because the work you're putting out isn't reflective of who you actually are. So it's of lesser quality or something like that. I don't know. That's interesting. I've got some chat after the chat. I want to hear from Ian Lake. He's been quiet for a moment. He looks very, very serious. Let me just read through these chats really quick, Ian Lake. So FCC says, I've definitely come away from socials. I'd rather spend the time and energy enjoying making music. Definitely. Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're all at. I mean, Ian Lake doesn't really use socials to begin with, but So he's always been there. Lars says, I'm starting to think social media is bad for musicians who don't also want to be trolls. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's trolls, but it seems like threads, like music threads, has become, it's not about music. So at least what I'm seeing on threads is like just people commenting about like what others are saying or this and that, or like takes on stuff and things rather than being about the music. Maybe I'm just not seeing the right threads posts and stuff like that. But like threads was a promising new social media platform. And for me, it's just not for me. Like none of that's bad. People should be sharing these kinds of things and stuff like that if they want to and all that, then that's great. But I was just like, I don't think like that's not the type of thing, the content I want to make. And so I'm just like, okay, that's not for me. FCC says, did you see the Snoop Dogg stuff about his billion streams only earning 45,000? I think, oddly enough, I saw Lars posting that. I think it was Lars on Threads or retweeting it or commenting on it or resharing whatever, rethreading. I think, Lars, you can correct me, but I did see briefly, yeah, that he, I guess he got 45,000 for a billion streams. I mean, you figure the label probably takes a large portion and there's probably other things, but yeah, that's crazy. The one thing I'm happy to see bigger artists talk about this stuff though, because that's how we hopefully get changed. Now, do we only get the changes for these bigger artists and their record labels, or does it go down to others? I don't know, but I think raising awareness, and the artists like Snoop Dogg have a huge level of influence. It's just good that people who aren't in our sphere will be learning about, oh, these are terrible streaming royalties that Spotify and the like pay out. Devoid of Funk says, if I can just realize a creative idea to completion and satisfaction and release it into the wild, I'm set. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally. That's the way to do it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Definitely. Lars says, I'm enjoying threads, but I am kind of a troll. Yeah. I didn't want to call you out. Just saying. But if you want to say it, that's your prerogative, my friend. Yeah. Eon Lake, I appreciate your patience. Carry on.
I'm a patient man. No, I didn't really have a huge amount left to say. I mean, it's funny. This is one of those years that worked out for me that all my releases are getting pushed into next year. And I think next year is going to be a busier year for actually getting music out there. And I think that explains why a lot of the realizations and takeaways are more theoretical, more about where I want to go next. I certainly want to be playing live more, and I'm looking into that at the moment. See if I can get some gigs.
Prague, Ben.
Yeah, I want to play live next year too, man. Definitely. Little SP shows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it does force you to look at what you've got and think, well, how can I make the most of this? Because I'm not bloody taking it all with me. It's like, no way. Yeah, and about what I want to get out of playing live, you know, it's always got to be, the music's got to be right. It has to be about the music. If the music's going to suffer, then you shouldn't be doing it. But I also want to have fun. I want there to be some jeopardy, you know. It's good. It just, you know, I think next year is going to be more of a formative year than this one. And I think I've moved along a fair bit in my thinking and my approach and what's coming out. We'll just see.
Last comment.
Always evolving.
Lars says, it's okay. My wife calls me out on it all the time. Oh, that's good. Well, that's what partners are for, right? Keep you grounded.
Exactly. Must be love. That's what you need. So that's our 2022. We're going to be looking a little bit 2023. I can't get the man, right year.
You're in the past and the future. Be here now, man. Be here. Now.
Brown.
I need to get back on my Ramdas. That's been our 2023. We're going to be looking at 2024 next week. Just to give some precursor, I believe. Maybe that's the right phrase. Not so sure about kind of where we're going. We're kind of touched on what we're going to be doing next year. Yeah. Getting further and further away from that as the years go on.
You're the former English teacher turned production AV.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I suppose what I'm saying is we're going to be getting into that. So if you want to get, let us know what you're planning for 2024. Ha! Again, not even did it on purpose. If you want to tell us what you're going to be doing in 2024, head over to our Discord and let us know. Are you releasing more? Are you
releasing less?
Are you releasing less? Are you changing the way your social media goes? What are you doing? Are you bringing a bucket into the studio and going to whack it and sample it?
Is that, and make a short out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Let us know. We'd love to find out. It's going to be a good week. We're not stopping, are we? We're not stopping over the festive period. We're going to do a little hangout in between Christmas and New Year.
The intent is not to stop. We're going to have a little hangout in the in-between, but some people may not be able to come. But if you need a break from all the Christmas festivities and holiday festivities and stuff like that, the intent is to go live on, what, the 19th or 20th, whatever that Wednesday is, and then... I think the one I got to look at the calendar, man. You've turned me into a calendar looker, which I've never been. Okay, so the 20th, the 27th, we do plan to go live. I think one of those, next week is talking, like he said, Curtis said, about 2024 and then whatever other news comes up. On the 27th, if you need a break in between all the holiday stuff and things like that, come hang out with us, 11 a.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. UTC. On the 27th, we'll be hanging out, just doing kind of like a just chill, talking gear, talking whatever. If news comes up, which it probably won't, we will cover it, but most likely it'll just be a chill hangout, reminiscent of our patron Starstream hangout. So if you want to get a taste of that, join us. We got some trippy comments. FCC says, when time becomes a loop. And Lars says, time is a flat circle or something like that. Yeah, so That's where we're at. That was our 2023, and then we'll be looking into 2024. But we do want to hear from all of you, and if you want to either share it in the Discord and we'll talk about it on the stream, or if you'd like to join us, if you're a patron on the $5 up and want to come on the show in any of these next episodes, we put the link over in Patreon every week, so we're happy to have you come join us and talk. Last week we had ASAP Stripe with us, which was great. Lots of fun. And we also, thankfully, thanks to ASAP Stripe being on the show, we had a cat fill-in for Curtis's Steve. So despite Curtis not being there, we did have a fill-in. But that about wraps up, I think, all the news. But chat, let us know what you're up to for the rest of the week. And Jan, like, what are you up to this week?
What am I up to?
Oh my, you're always stumped by that. You know I choose on you first, like call on you first. And every time,
I've always got a bunch of stuff planned. And
then it doesn't remember it doesn't when execute. You is that a McDonald's cup behind you?
No, I wouldn't do something like that.
It sure looks like a McDonald's cup behind you. I just noticed that.
I won't be doing that. No, I'm still messing around with samplers a lot at the moment, so I've got a lot of half-baked ideas split between the SP404 and the black box that I've got downstairs. So I'm just going to be carrying on doing the same thing at the moment. I'm doing idea generation. I'm messing around with a load of free breaks and loops and stuff.
Nice.
And just trying to
chop
do something.
Them in the diggy.
I'm also going to be doing some drum practice like a good boy, because it's been a long time.
Practice is key.
Yep. Been a bunch of techniques that I'm going to brush up on. I've got some lessons to do as well. So, yeah, that's another way I find of getting into the mood for writing music is playing an instrument for a long time, you know, hopefully until you get into that sort of not realizing you're doing it stage, and then go and try and write some music. That kind of helps.
Can I make a recommendation for something to try? Because this is what I've been doing to a degree. Now, I'm not a drummer, so I wasn't using my drums, but I was making them in the circuit tracks, like making a loop, right? And then I sampled that into the Digi Tact and then did the slice mode.
Yeah.
And chose different parts. I did like a 32 or 64 step slice and then different parts. So it made a whole completely different sounding drum beat. And then you can add like the distortion or the overdrive and the bit reduction. I would highly recommend you try that. It's a lot of fun. Send me some drum samples and I'll do it.
You stole it from me.
Or do both.
Curtis, what are you up to this week?
Well, aside from hoping that I wake up one morning to a zip file of Eon Lake's drumming MIDI.
I thought you were going
to
say waking up realizing it's still 2023.
I mean, there is that. I'm finally going back. I've been building sketches and stuff for the follow up to Marooned. So I think I'm going to start looking at that. I think now the chaos is over. I finished work on Friday, and then I'll be more time for that. That's been a really interesting trip because that's changing workflow, using different things, sampling in Ableton and stuff. That's fun. So I think I'll be doing a lot of that. It's been a ridiculous couple of weeks. So I think I'm just going to let my brain just flop for a bit. And like Eon Lake was saying, take care of himself and take care of my shaven chimp brain and just let it do its thing. And if I pick up the guitar, great. If I don't, and I just spend 10 minutes in Ableton building a loop, great. No commitments, no judgments, just it is what it is until for a week or so. So that's me.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you are going live, right?
Yeah. So I'm going, that's the precursor to this in a way. So I'm going live after this. I'm going to be opening some old production project files. And we're just going to be having a look and seeing what's up. It's going to be good. I've been experimenting with Drift and Granulizer too. So I'm going to be playing around with that, I think. And then sampling the hell out of that. And yeah, Eon Lake, if you want to send me some drums to make some Goa trance, you know where I'm at, bro.
Speed them up a bit.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Sean Wolfer, where are you at, bro? What are you doing?
Well, I got a few things. I have to finish the last track for Music for Imagined Landscapes. I've had no time, so I migrated it to the new computer. And for some reason, this is funny saying reason because it's a reason issue. Reason won't recognize Guitar Rig on this computer. I like can't get them. It opens in Logic, and on this computer, which is an Intel Mac, Guitar Rig works fine on Reason, but I can't get it to scan Guitar Rig on this new computer. So I think I have to bounce the ideas that I have using Guitar Rig on this computer and then just use audio from it. But that's the first thing. I got to finish that. It's kind of a bittersweet feeling finishing that because that's the last track for Imagine Landscapes. And that, I think that's going to be like a big cornerstone or a change in terms of releases after that. So it's like this is probably the last like of these more frequent releases and things like that. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just the workflow I've been doing for the last like 2 or 3 years. And this is probably like the final one. So it's an interesting little end to it. But we've got a lot planned for it in January when it comes out. So
yeah,
it'll be fun. And then that, and then I have to do tomorrow. I'll be doing a live stream. The vote is fierce on my YouTube poll that I put. It's 32%, 34% between, because there's two other votes, which is 23% and 11%. 53 votes, and it's almost tied between my new Dawless workflow, which is what I was talking about, where I sample sounds in and just chop them and then make a song, or a tutorial on how to MIDI map Koala sampler to make it like a hardware sampler. So
ooh,
if anybody plans to watch and or wants to just cast a vote or cast a vote and watch, head to my YouTube channel, because I'm going to just make a choice depending on where the vote is in about like an hour or two, because I have to prep for it. I have to get it all set up. So yeah. Mm. I was surprised the one of the other options, Generative Sample Flip, is like doing so well compared to the other two. But my plan was to sample flip generative sounds on the circuit, put it in the Digitact and go crazy. So lots of sampling any way, shape or form the poll goes. That's but something. It's I guess it's just the different modes of sampling. Yeah. But that'll be tomorrow. So that'll be fun. I got to charge everything, get it all set up. I got on my last Pocket Operator video, I noticed in the video, I always use this little arm, right, to record, but it's connected to the desk. And as you can see, when I tap the desk, it shakes. And so the overhead was a little wobbly in a few parts because the Pocket Operator is so small. So I got some comments like, oh, it's so shaky. Like I'm getting motion sick. So I'm like, oh my. So I got a new, I'm really excited to use it tomorrow. That's why I bring it up. I got this new tripod that like shoots out to the side so it can go over, like it could be an overhead, but it's off to the side. It's got like a big long, it's got like an arm that can reach out. So I'm excited to use that. Now I'm getting excited about like tripods and stuff, like getting new gear for videography and stuff. I'm like, oh, what have I become?
It happens for sure. There we go.
By the way, just really quick, Ian, like I was not busting you on McDonald's. I was just curious. I'm hungry. So my brain saw that and I was like, ooh, because $200 said busted. Hopefully your wife isn't watching it with a secret. Lars says, hey now. Well, stop showing. Hold on. I can't get it to share. Anyway, there it is. Lars says, hey now, McDonald's got some sweet or some bomb sweet tea. Okay, so I don't know if I've never looked, I guess, but I don't know if the McDonald's here has that. But that sounds really good. And I'm really hungry. Oh. So
there you go. It's time for you to go get some lunch, isn't it? Really?
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah.
It is
indeed.
We thank you ever so much for tuning in and taking part in this. We love the chat, love checking in with everyone every week. Please let us know what you've been up to. Curious for what's going to happen next week. If there's any news that we've missed, let us know in the Discord. We'll see you over there. Thank you ever so much for tuning in.
I think I've broken Lars' brain. What? Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't explore the McDonald's menu. Like, I don't even go there much anymore. But when I do, I like get just a few things. But that doesn't sound familiar to me, but maybe it is. I don't know. But Lars, Google it and let us know in the Discord, because maybe I'll have to rectify that issue and get one. But let us know if we missed anything. I saw there was one thing we will cover in the next episode, but Bandcamp added like more to the discovery page or something like that. So we'll look into that. We'll report it back to you. It seems like it's a good change coming to Bandcamp, which is nice after all the stuff with Songtree. I mean, who knows how long it was in development, but there was all that stuff. So that's exciting to see. Good changes are always welcome. But yeah, we've got Bendu, pink hand waving. Bye. Thanks for joining us, Bendu. Great to have you. Devoid of Funk, always great having you. And FCC says, nice one, guys. Take it easy, folks. Thanks for joining us, FCC. Curtis, anything you want to add before we go?
No, just thank you again. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Ian Lake?
Thanks to the patrons and thanks to everyone who listens to me waffle on or rant.
Yeah, we
any of the other stuff I do here from time to time.
Wouldn't miss it. Wouldn't miss it for the world. Yeah.
I'll miss it.
Yeah. It's great. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Thanks to all the patrons. We appreciate all of you. We'll continue our talk in the Discord. And if you want to check out, we do still have the Spotify Audionautic Radio playlist. I will be migrating to Tidal, but who knows if they're not going to be focusing on that. So waiting to see where where it all develops. But we do have that playlist. It's in the description if you want to check it out. If you've got music you think fits, let us know in the Discord or on our socials. But yeah, we're getting close to 600 followers on it. So, I mean, it's good to see. Have a nice little community where we listen to each other's music and latest in electronic chill music. So yeah, if you want to check it out, links in the description. With that, we will see you next week, Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. UTC. Thanks for watching.